And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody, and happy hump day to you.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, we'll be heading into a three-day weekend, Labor Day weekend, and we will be closed on Monday, so there will be no radio program or no newsletter on Monday. We'll might send you, the listeners, those who follow our newsletter, something in the middle of the week, depending on what happens in the markets after the Labor Day, but we certainly can see what they're leading up to, a three-day weekend. They want to make sure that everyone has a good one by having record number in the stock market. So let's go ahead and get to the gold price. We have gold pressure on gold. Dollar is stronger today. You know, that's what they're going to do. So it's no big surprise, and you shouldn't get all in a tizzy because gold is down $27 today, $1,943. Silver was down 67 cents at $27.50. Platinum was down $39 at $913. Palladium was down 42 at $2,281. The USDX today was stronger by 0.42 at 92.71. Crude oil was down 1.23 at 41.53. So, and I'm real happy for you folks that those of you that have, you know, the paper markets, and it's been doing well for you. And the only thing I'd say to you is you better get your profits, because there will be a turnaround. So take it when you can. The Dow was up 453 points on what? Oh, there's going to be a vaccine by November 1st. All right. 29,100. NASDAQ up 116 at 12,056. S&P up 54 at 3,580. 10-year yield 0.65%. London was up big. Germany was up. European markets were higher overnight. And it just baffles me, Dave, that we haven't talked about the fear and greed index for a while, and it's showing that we're at 77 at 100. And we'll go over some of that after the first break. But it just amazes me. I mean, you have this country with businesses shut down, restaurants that are serving at 50% capacity. It baffles me that you could have that good of a greed feeling at such a time. It just baffles me. But Bitcoin is down 6% today. Anyway, we got Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melly, and hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I'm back in the saddle, as they say, and I thought we'd talk about this new research about your cognitive function and fungus. This is medical research from Wake Forest Baptist Hospital Center, Medical Center. They seem to have discovered, they said, a link between digestive fungi and dementia. So they are proclaiming, get this, that the Mediterranean diet can prohibit the phenomenon of fungi giving you dementia. So this is the first time I've seen them promote a diet that would be a prevention method. So no doubt, you know, that a healthy diet can prohibit many internal medicine disorders, but this is, and also your medicinal herbs can help. But this is just amazing. They're saying the plagues of the Bible also mentioned that there was a sickness associated with mildew, also fungus. And science has also done research studies that have linked cancer and fungus disease together. So this study did get published in the Journal of eBiomedicine, kind of revealing on how much power a person has over their health like this when they select the right foods to eat. So it really is a testament to how much we can accomplish compared to what scientific medicine has really to offer. So it's just symptom management, usually with dementia, Alzheimer's, and stuff like that. According to one lead researcher on the study, Haram Yadav, a professor of molecule medicine, he says, our study reveals that unique fungi co-living with bacteria in the gut can be healed with the Mediterranean diet. So the study is showing that people with cognitive malfunctions and even Alzheimer's can improve their health within just 6 weeks by changing their diet. So what the diet can help accomplish is balance your gut floras and thereby influence the Alzheimer's markers in the spinal fluid and your gut. Dr. Yadif all goes on to say, although we do not fully understand how these fungi contribute to the Alzheimer's disease, this is the first study to reveal an association and influence over mental health and diet. So we hope to ignite thinking, he says, in the scientific community to develop better thinking and understanding in relation to cognitive issues. So we've talked about cognitive issues before, and basically we have the average cost of dementia per patient. If you have dementia, Alzheimer's, or any of these cognitive problems, it's going to cost you $174,000 a year for treatment. Alzheimer's is the third most expensive disease. Before that comes sepsis and cancer treatment. The U.S. government spends $350 million on cognitive disease research each year, and decades of expensive research have really not led to a cure, but only to drug management therapy. And medicine bundles of premature dementia, senility, Alzheimer's into one category, kind of similar to the bundling of COVID with pneumonia, bronchitis, influenza, emphysema, and COPD. So the result is to produce urgency and millions of dollars for research on these treatments. So what the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center study is showing us is that dementia patients are really poisoned either from inside or outside exposure. So these toxins are not releasing from the body and they're causing accumulative effects. So any of the brain-related tissues are kind of issues are stemming from a systemic poisoning. So the brain toxemia, that's from metal toxins, and you can get toxins in your system from dental implants, from vaccines, and so forth. Also, depression and emotional and mental health problems stem from this, as well as your nervous system breakdowns, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and senility. So a few examples of toxins that can accumulate in your body from chemicals and heavy metals would be fluorides and acids, aluminum salts, and mercury. So you need to get those things out of the system, and all of a sudden the mental disorders lift. So kind of an amazing thing, isn't it, that medical science now has accomplished that, you know, to what they do is they convince dementia patients that and their families that the disease is incurable. That's what they tell them. And once you realize there's no such thing as Alzheimer's, that it's really just an overload of trapped toxins, you can reverse the condition yourself. And the problem is that physicians are really not taught how to heal their patients, and even if they had an inkling on how to go about that, they would risk their license because it cuts into the drug companies, and the drug companies and the lobbyists, they kind of own Congress and legislators and your state licensing boards. So doctors who step out of line and speak truth, well, they either get fired or they lose their license. So, and a good example of are the physicians who spoke the truth about the COVID treatments, and look what happened to them. So lifestyle evaluation is basically what this comes down to. The key to most internal medicine issues is to remove the toxins and put the nutrition in the body. And we are conditioned to just run to doctors, and they're going to prescribe more toxins to promote the illness long term. So when you detoxify, you're stopping whatever it is in the lifestyle, in the system that really needs to be removed if you want anything positive to happen. And sadly, people tend to be in lifestyle ruts, and they would rather put their trust in the hands of their doctor and the drug companies than to clean up their act and to work at getting better. And now addressing a serious health issue is going to take probably months or maybe even a year to correct it. So I tell people, don't lose faith and keep hanging in there. It took years for the body to break down under the toxic strain and then your symptoms to manifest. So it's going to take a little while to reverse that. So we've lost kind of our way, Melanie and Dave, and we've lost our perspective and we've lost our power. over our health and have turned it over to drug companies, profiting pretty much off illness and no cures. Not really. I think trauma care is about it. That's all I can say is positive. Because toxins, when you get too much of an overload, they will clog your glands and stop your detoxification system. They'll corrupt your cells. They'll disrupt the metabolism functions, including your cognitive function and your immune system. They'll interfere with your reproduction system. They'll stagnate your blood plasma. It'll block absorption of nutrients. It'll stunt your growth, and it will promote all internal medicine diseases. So detox is probably one of the tools that will help you stay out of the internal medicine disorder area. It's one of the things I learned in herb school. Cleanse and nourish, and you got most things whooped.
Yep. Very interesting. Well, you know what, Wendy? I mean, a long time ago, like our grandparents, they didn't have to worry about detoxing and anything like that because the food that they ate was good.
Yeah.
But now we live in a world of preservatives and fast foods and everything else, and, you know, things have certainly changed. And our food that they in the healthy food, if it isn't organic or you know where it came from, Lord knows what's in it, the GMOs and everything.
Well, that, yeah, and your glyphosate Roundup didn't get heavily used till the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And here's the other thing. There's a lot of drug therapies that promote dementia symptoms. And a lot of medical science knows this, and your doctor should be aware of it. Here's a quote from Noel Campbell, who's a pharmacist, who says, "We have found that when you take anticholinergic drugs, significantly increases the risk of developing cognitive impairment. Taking two or more of these drugs doubles your risk, and this is a very significant and already known risk in American population." So what we're talking about are a group of drugs in a category that will promote drug-induced dementia, okay? And if your doctor's not on the ball, he's just going to prescribe more drugs for your dementia symptoms. So let's just go down this list. And here is MD, Dr. Malez Bustiani, School of Medicine in Iowa. He says, simply put, we've confirmed anticholinergics can cause or worsen cognitive impairment, which involves gradual memory loss. So let's go down the list of what those things could do. These are very common drugs. Some of them are over the counter. Your Benadryl for allergies, your Dramamine for motion sickness, your Excedrin PM, your Nitol sleep aid, your Somnix, your Tylenol PM sleep aid, your Unisom sleep aid, Paxil, which is often prescribed for depression, obsessive compulsive disorders, also your Detrol for overactive bladder or urgency issues, as well as Demerol for pain, and it's also used as a sleep aid. Also Paxil, which is an antidepressive anxiety drug. So here's the thing, you get on those drugs, and here's the symptoms these drugs will give you, which the doctor thinks you have dementia. Dry mouth, lack of sweating, constipation, dizziness, drowsiness, unsteady on your feet, headaches, difficulty urinating, visual impairment, disorientation, difficulty swallowing, delirium, fatigue, high blood pressure, breathing difficulties, convulsions, behavior changes, hallucinations, muscle weakness, skin problems, and slurred speech. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times people may say, well, maybe she's having a stroke or he's having a stroke. No, you know. And here's the map of the United States. This is from the Alzheimer's Association. On the U.S. map, they have listed regions where they have drug-induced dementias. Isn't this interesting? They say that we may conclude that certain areas of the country may be more prone or disposed to dementia based on how people are treated for things like depression. So other areas that may be more disposed to dementia would be people that are dealing with severe allergies and taking allergy meds, or people that are severely depressed, or people that basically are working shift work and they're taking sleep aids. But you know what they're doing is they're destroying the brain cells and they're causing cognitive problems when they're on these drugs. So they're saying we can also ascertain that people with sleep, vision, heart, insulin problems are on medications that are also promoting cognitive decline. This is from the Alzheimer's Association. So women also seem to be more prone to anxiety, and they're on those medications, and they're promoting dementia. Wow.
Wow.
You know, so it's you know, a drug causing the dementia, and possibly, you know, lack of nutrition. That's why they're saying get on the Mediterranean diet. So get off the fast food and get on, you know, some basic healthy stuff. So cleanse and nourish, get the toxins out, put the nutrition in, and watch all those internal medicine disorders melt away. Get off this stuff. So many people are on stuff, like I was just talking to a lady, she was on medicine for ADHD, you know, the attention deficit problem, and it made her gain weight and her hair fall out. So I'm wow. like, just stop taking the drug then. You know, that's simple. To me, it's simple. If you know it's the drug, quit taking it. So, but people are like, Mel, maybe I should run it by my doctor. Yeah, you go do that. Mm-hmm. See how that works for you. But, you know, it's just amazing. A lot of this stuff has been on the market forever. It's grandfathered through the FDA. They probably knew in clinical trials this would be causing long-term memory loss, decline, and being diagnosed as having dementia or Alzheimer's. And, you know, when you're diagnosed like that, what does that do to your insurance, to your ability to work, your ability to find a job? Seriously, you know?
It's, yeah.
It is a problem. But, hey, we're coming up to Labor Day, so we're having a Labor Day sale at Apothecary Herbs, and it's 25% off. So if you're thinking about cleansing and nourishing, this is time to save 25%. Details are on the website, thepowerherb.com. And we also have a toll-free number, Melody. We have a toll-free number disruption at the moment because we moved to our new facility, and they still
have a
I know.
That you moved to the new facility, not that you're having phone issues.
I know. Well, you know, the phone company is struggling. It's Spectrum, Time Warner, Charter. They're just struggling with the technology. I think it's funny, ironic, really. They're a communication industry, and they're not communicating very well. Mm-hmm. And we can't get our toll-free number to ring, and they're working on it. But we do have a couple of numbers, the local 704-885-0277 number. But unfortunately, it's kind of a patch, and it can only ring to our answering service, so it can't ring to our office. It's kind of weird. And then we do have a local number, a new local number, 828-469-5972. But we can't unforward that one at right now either until they fix their technical problems. So people need to just call those numbers, and if they need me to call them back, the answering service will email me their information.
Which, so do you have an email address that you can give out?
Absolutely. They can email me at wendyw@thepowerherbs.com.
There you go. Appreciate it, Wendy. Thank you. We look forward to our discussion next week.
Okay, take care now.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Congratulations. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Oh, it has been a, you know, it's all focus, of course, is on the elections. Everything is, as I mentioned, a possible vaccine by the 1st of November. We're heading into a three-day weekend, so markets are all going to be strong. And I guess they've picked, you know, the moderators for the debates, Dave. I don't think there's any surprise of who they picked. I mean, it's the same ones, I think, from times past, but it's just like, I'm worn out with it. Please hold the election tomorrow. Please. And, but it is, well, going to, yes?
If you live in a state that provides mail-in voting opportunity, get your application if you haven't already. When you get your ballot, vote immediately. And then, you know, even though you won't get the results until, well, who knows when? Certainly, or probably not election night this time around. But at least if you want to, you can vote early and then turn the stinking TV off. You know,
and if
we don't have to. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then it gives them 2 months to lose it, right?
That's right. That's why when you get it, you fill it out immediately and mail it back, or take it in.
So they can lose it. Yeah, there we go. You know.
But, oh, so the election center, so the voter services center.
The election centers lose it. Yeah, the election centers lose it. So then we can, you know, take this out another 3 months. So, but again, we talked a little bit about this yesterday about, and I just want to, I don't, unless you have it scheduled for the next, but the U.S. government debt is going to exceed the size of the economy. First time. It's a milestone. It's another milestone since World War II. And certainly times are different now than it was at that time. But, and they're blaming it all on the giant fiscal response to the pandemic. Well, we were already pretty much in debt, you know, over 20 trillion, 21, 22 trillion when, you know, come March and all of a sudden you have all these stimulus PACs being created. But the CBO office said today, the Congressional Budget Office said Wednesday, today, that federal debt held by public is projected to reach or exceed 100% of U.S. gross domestic product. And of course, the GDP is the broadest measure of U.S. economic output. And this is all beginning the fiscal year of October 1st. So that is going to put the U.S. in the company of a handful of nations with debt loads that exceed their economies. So we are joining Japan, Italy, and Greece. So we know what's been going on and what has gone on in Greece. We know what has gone on in Italy and Japan. So it's coming to a town near you. This year, the ratio is expected to be 98%, also the highest since World War II. And it's not bothering any investor. They just think that the U.S. ability will be to borrow more and just keep borrowing more and more and more. You see investors are gobbling up the U.S. Treasury assets, thinking that they're safe. Everyone expects interest rates to remain low. And that gives people the reason to believe that the government still has plenty of room to borrow. What say you, Dave? Do you agree with that?
I guess the numbers are what they are. I mean, $6.6 trillion in spending this fiscal year, which ends September 30th. Only $3.3 trillion in revenues. That's down $200 billion from last year, probably all due to, or mostly due to, less income tax collections, revenues from widespread unemployment. And again, you know, with debt held by the public increasing to almost $34 trillion by the end of the decade, and that's just based on current policy, meaning that, you know, if there's another, say, $2 trillion stimulus act this year, that's going to increase the deficit and national debt by roughly just about the same amount. And, you know, so by the end of the decade, CBO expects debt held by the public to be almost 110% of GDP. So, I mean, it does beg the question, is there any hope for U.S. taxpayers? And, of course, that remains to be seen. I mean, I guess there's always hope until there isn't any. And if that time should ever come, we'll be in a world, new world order known as the Big Reset. And if that comes, when that comes, however you want to characterize it, whatever your perspective is, things are going to be a lot different. I hope it's not in my lifetime, my children's lifetime, or their children's lifetime, and so on and so on and so on. But it seems as though we continue to be our own worst enemies, Melody, and it almost seems inevitable that that time will come. That's what I say.
And I agree with you. You know, while debt has risen in most advanced economies, the U.S. is the only country whose debt to GDP ratio is expected to continue rising after 2021. And this is according to the IMF. It is also expected to record the biggest jump in debt to GDP this year among advanced economies. And they're going to, and that also includes Germany and France, Italy and the U.K. A senior fellow at the conservative Manhattan Institute for Policy Research, Brian Riedel, he said in the short term, you have to spend what it takes to minimize the recession and keep the economy afloat. He says, but the soaring debt to GDP ratio, it's totally unsustainable. He said, even if the rates do stay low. So again, they're telling you, hey, this is what they're doing. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And everybody's just riding the paper markets higher and higher. I don't get it, Dave. It just baffles me to no end. It baffles me to no end that the confidence in these paper markets, when everybody knows it, most of your financial analysts know, well, gee, this can't keep going. Look at these numbers. I mean, that, you know, the numbers, the Dow doesn't support what's really going on. And yet the poor investor out there, the poor mom and pop, the guy who had and I include I have my cousins. They work for companies. He retired after 40 years. She's still working there because of her retirement. It's going to be gone. And his will be readjusted. So they worked all these years, they saved, put all their money into their pension so they'd be able to retire. And if you asked them, yeah, we don't know what to do. We feel a little, we you know, but there isn't anything that we can do. Yeah, there is something that you can do. And you know what it is. So don't wait for the markets to start crashing 3,000 points like it did in March to make your move. because by then it might be too late. You know, we talked about, you know, recession since February. There's the economists that are still warning that the economic downturn caused by the pandemic is creating another recession. So we're going to have a recession on top of recession. You know, as you mentioned, Dave, we have the job losses, business failures, decline in spending, even in industries. A looming recession. We already are in one, as they reported. So we're going to have a recession within a recession. That's interesting. Have we ever had one of those before, Dave?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. But if we have, there certainly haven't been many, and they've been more subtle than this one is. But this one appears to be sending clearer signals that, whether we're, in a depression or heading into a depression, perhaps not technically defined, but certainly so much of the indicators, it's 6 months into this pandemic driven recession, and now that, once we thought we were seeing the sunrise on a recovery, there are so many other signals saying not so fast.
I think the most, the one that's going to hurt the most is the loss of jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, the increasing number of layoffs that have gone from classified as temporary to classified as permanent. You know, the increasing number of men who have lost jobs in recent months, a traditional recession dynamic and reversal of the trend that saw more women being laid off in early months, the rising rate of long-term unemployment. I mean, that was an unfortunate hallmark of the 2008 Great Recession. So, the question is this weakness going to persist? Dave, I can't see any other way.
Yeah, and as the longer it persists, the harder it's going to be to get out of it. More and more people who are in this for a living believe that, or wonder whether, again, the economy is transitioning from a depression to a recession and not a recovery. Now, the data are going to make that more difficult to figure out, because third quarter economic growth are going to be compared to the second quarter. And the second quarter was the worst downturn in history. So if, we're down virtually 40% in the second quarter, and now if we're going to be up, say, 25%, whatever it's going to be, in the third, I don't think it'll be that high, but you go from minus 39 to plus 20, 25. I mean, 50 percentage point change. I mean, that's grossly misleading considering where we are, particularly as Melody indicated, with millions of people still unemployed. Most economists think that absent another wave of lockdowns, third quarter GDP, again, should be the highest ever. The growth, that is. But largely because of pent-up demand. And by the simple fact that most businesses here are going to be allowed to operate again. This new recession, if that's what we're going to call it, is exactly what Washington policymakers were trying to avoid by passing the CARES Act in March, $2 trillion. But Congress has allowed those enhanced benefits for many of the 27 million Americans on unemployment to lapse, to go away. Members of the Fed, conservative and liberal think tanks alike, and economists of all stripes have been pounding the table, calling on Congress and White House to get their acts together and pass more fiscal stimulus. despite the fact we know that's going to cause the debt to rise even further than it has. One economist wrote recently, the Senate's on vacation while Americans are starving. So I don't know, Melody, where this all or how this all pans out. We are not in Kansas anymore, and you know, when you have four times as many people on government unemployment insurance, with an economic shock that's caused at least three times the number of job losses, ooh, we in difficult times.
We are, but you never know it.
I know, right?
You never know it. It's the fantasy land that we live in, isn't it great? Maybe we still are in Kansas. And anyway, you know, and this is going to add more pressure. We talked about, I think Butch and I talked about California, the governor, he extended the evictions. I don't know how you want to phrase it.
Eviction moratorium?
Moratorium, yes, he did extend that. And now you have the CDC. They plan to issue an order temporarily halting residential evictions through December 31st. I didn't know the CDC could do that, number one.
That was a surprise to me, too.
I thought that would have to come. It came from the president before, didn't it?
It did.
So I thought he had already extended it to the 31st. Maybe this is the CDC following through. I don't know. But I thought it was strange, the CDC halting residential evictions. And that's through December 31st to prevent more coronavirus spreading. One estimate last month found that 23 million Americans are at risk of eviction. Well, they get to stay in their homes through Christmas. CDC's order marks another example of the administration going around Congress, where stimulus talks have stalled, as you had mentioned. In order to get assistance, residents earning less than $99,000 per year must report that they are unable to pay their rent or are likely to become homeless if evicted. They must also show that they tried to obtain all government assistance currently available for rent or housing, and that they are unable to make payments due to loss of income, a layoff, or extraordinary out-of-pocket medical expenses. Well, that's kind of broad. I mean, at first they went into this because of the virus, but now they're extending into medical expenses. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, we were talking about jobs and moratoriums on evictions. And, Dave, I thought this was kind of interesting, just very briefly. You know, we know that Congress is going to be returning from its late summer recession soon. And today we learned that the hotel industry is pushing for new economic relief, warning that 6 months in the pandemic, it remains on the brink of collapse. There was a new report from the American Hotel and Lodging Association finds that heading into Labor Day weekend, which would normally be a boon, only 14% of hotels are booked compared to 41% in 2019. And overall demand remains well below normal levels. Well, I'll tell you what, only 41% booked in 2019. I didn't think that was such a great number. Or is it? I don't know what it was in 2018. Only 33% of Americans say they have traveled overnight for leisure or vacation since March. Well, we weren't allowed to go anywhere. And only 38% said they are likely to do so by the end of the year. Just 16% of Americans plan to travel for Labor Day, 25% for Thanksgiving, and 30% for Christmas. So,
yeah.
People staying home.
Yeah, only 4 out of 10 hotel employees have returned to work, and almost 2/3 of hotels remain half full or less. And the industry says that that's the threshold at which most hotels can break even and start to pay their debt. Chip Rogers, who runs the Hotel Association, ALA, A-H-L-A, said our industry is in crisis. Thousands of hotels are in jeopardy of closing forever, and that will have a ripple effect throughout our communities for years to come. He added, "We need urgent bipartisan action from Congress now." Sounds pretty urgent to me, Melody. How do you see that playing out?
Well, we get the hotel and restaurant begging for bailouts. We have the airline industry begging for bailouts. The oil industry is begging for bailouts. The American people are begging for bailouts. So, hey, you know, just like in the early one, they're gonna dish out as much money as they can to keep the system going. Until it doesn't anymore. So, you know,
seems like a Three Musketeer moment.
What did I
all
see?
For
that
one
they,
and one for all.
What did I see? Like the debt is will go from where we're at today. What were we at? What, 27 trillion, up to 70 some trillion.
Under like, what circumstances?
Like within 10 years or less. And it's just like, okay, that's okay. Let that happen. That means gold prices will go even higher. And, you know, I guess, pardon?
I was going to say, I see 5 figures sooner than later.
I do, too. I do, too.
Jeez.
Since we're kind of on this theme, I think we have this theme today of jobs. We do have the job report coming out on Friday, you know, and we'll see if there's any miscalculations on that one. And but today you had the ADP's figures came out today, and they do greatly differ from government, but it does, their report show that the U.S. companies added fewer jobs than expected in August. Business payrolls increased by 428,000 after an upwardly revised 212,000 in July, according to, you know, ADP, the median projection of economists was calling for a 1 million gain for the latest month. That's a huge spread.
Indeed.
Now, the latest data suggests companies continue to hire at a slower pace than immediately following the lifting of business lockdowns. And, you know, I don't know if they're hiring at a slower pace. I see for hire signs everywhere. So people aren't taking the jobs that are there. So I don't know. You know, I mean, they are. They're in almost every business store, any retail store. People don't want to work retail, I guess. So I don't know what the real numbers are, Dave. I mean, it is confusing.
There's a consensus that this Friday's government report will show 1.3 million. So, you know, again, we're going to have to wait and see.
Well, we know it will.
No.
You know, we know it will. It's heading into a three-day weekend. You know, we were talking about various industries that need bailouts. Here's one, and the child care industry. They're beginning to collapse under the strain of this so-called pandemic. With parents now making up a third of the workforce, the fate of schools and daycare centers, and the strength of the economy, they're all closely linked, given that the hit to closed schools could be close to 3.5% of GDP. So without any financial help, 50% of these daycare centers will go out of business. And with that, you're erasing some 4.5 million slots for young children. And this is from the Center of American Progress that they project this. Only 25% of child care businesses received loans under March's Paycheck Protection Program. Daycare centers got $3.5 billion in aid under the CARES Act, but economists said the industry needs around $10 billion a month to make it through this crisis. The latest stimulus package stalled in Congress, of course, has absolutely no money earmarked for these types of businesses. Mary Grimmer, she owns Little Treasure Schoolhouse in the Boston suburbs, says she went from turning an $18,000 profit in February to losing $58,000 in July. She did get a PPP loan, though. $18,000 a month profit is pretty good. Now, why wouldn't she put some money away? I don't know. So, some of the places that have reopened, they're struggling with the additional costs and burdens of trying to run a daycare with the new regulations and so forth to protect people from the pandemic. That's amazing.
That it is. Well, you know, they've had to buy new and more toys because kids can't share anymore. I mean, because of the health concern. And they've had to take on fewer kids because of social distancing rules imposed by their governors. And they've had to hire more people, many of them, you know, outsiders, outsourced companies. Nevertheless, more expense to keep everything sanitized. Grimmer said she had to double her payroll after reopening. And what concerns them the most, obviously, is the prospect of another shutdown. She said, I just can't imagine how I could survive another one. So, beyond the stress of overwhelmed parents or the cabin fever of restless kids, closing schools and daycares because of the pandemic could cost, according to some estimates, $700 billion in lost revenue and productivity. I don't know. We've been bailing out big business, Melody. Is it time to think about daycare centers too?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that would be the I don't think that would be fixing the problem, because the problem is, you know, if you have to keep your kids at home, the schools are only doing part-time. I mean, there's a lot of parents that couldn't afford daycare to begin with.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's just the only problem with, you know, sending money to that particular industry. I don't know. It's people need to get back to work. But it's hard for parents, or for the at least one of the parents, to go back to work if they can't take their kids to school or find daycare for them. So it's a mess, but it's an important area that I think we forget about. I mean, I thought the cost of daycare prior to going into the pandemic was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous what parents have to pay for these daycare centers. I mean, I mean you're talking what, Dave? $1,000 a week? Or well, maybe not that much. $1,500 a month? $2,000 a month?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, a lot of daycare teachers, now I've never looked at the average, you know, the profit statements, the balance sheets, but I know that a lot of these daycare workers, the so-called teachers, even at the kindergarten level, are making $20,000-$25,000 a year. So it's not like these folks are overpaid. So there's clearly an economics factor at work here, and I don't know what the answer is either.
But what it does mean is that a lot of these businesses, even in this sector, will be closing and not reopening. So again, there's more jobs lost, and you can't forget the multiplier effect. That's still happening. So U.S. companies have record debt. We talked about U.S. government's record debt. We talked about the federal deficit soaring to a record $3.3 trillion. This is the CBO's latest updated projections. We talked about this in the beginning of the program. And now we have U.S. companies have record debt. They have taken on a historic amount of debt this year, with investment-grade corporates already issuing a record $1.5 trillion in bonds, more than any full-year total ever. But many have also upped their holdings of cash, making new debt burdens far lower than expected. But a lot of them got money from governments, too. In theory, lower net indebtedness means companies will have stronger balance sheets and better bond ratings. Well, you have the Fed. No wonder they can keep their cash. They're not buying back their own corporate. They're not buying back their corporate debt anymore. They have the Federal Reserve doing that. So they have more cash to hold. Right, Dave?
Yeah, this is peculiar. I mean, and we could look at this from any number of vantage points, but I mean, they're talking about investment grade industrial companies increased their indebtedness by $397 billion through June of this year. At the same time, they grew their cash holdings by $351 billion, meaning, in their perspective, that their net debt rose by just in quotes, $46 billion. But it makes me wonder, and you sort of alluded to this in another sense earlier in the program, Melody. If times were good pre-pandemic, and I know these numbers are through June, and it's a little different with what they do with cash now, given all this uncertainty in the coming months and years. But why are they using, why are they incurring new debt at all if they have that kind of cash laying around? Do you know what I mean? Isn't that the time to just either not incurring debt and riding the next 6 months out with some extra cash on hand for future uncertainty, contingencies? So I don't get it. This one really perplexes me. What they're trying to say here? I don't know if they're looking for some credit. I mean, like thanks or goodwill, because hey, you know, pat us on the butt. We've issued a record number of bonds, but look at all the cash we've raised. We have this year. Well, so what? Why are you borrowing all of this money if you have all this cash?
Because rates are low.
I know that's the reason, but I mean,
I know. Hey, you know the old OPM.
Yeah, indeed.
OPM, and you know they know they can default on it. That's why, and they get to keep their cash. Anyway, hey, we're out of time. Something to ponder on, and we'll talk about this perhaps on Friday. So until then, we'll be back tomorrow. But until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Bye bye.
I have a plan. If I got me.